This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the program. It's good to have you along as we visit the Ronald McDonald House in Danville. We've been here before. It's been a while, but we're going to talk today with their executive director, Mike Turles, and hear about the house and its history and what they're up to nowadays. And there is a fundraising going on. We're going to talk about that, too, as this house continues to serve after 40-some years, Mike?
Yeah, 43 years.
Wow. Thanks for joining us, first of all.
Thank you. Good morning.
And good to have you on again. What is the mission of the Ronald McDonald House? Let's begin with that for folks maybe not familiar with it. I think by now most people, at least in Danville, are familiar because of this house existing so long. But give us a bit of the mission.
Sure. Our mission is to provide a comfort and support for families as they travel through the continuum of care of their ill child. And we do that through our programs. First, we have a 19-bedroom house. Imagine your own house, just much larger, 19 bedrooms. We have a fully stocked kitchen, fully stocked laundry room, living room, dining room, exterior playground, interior playroom. Each bedroom has its own private bath, its own temperature control, its own phone and answering system. All the comforts of home. In addition, we run a cancer camp for children. That's for 1 week in July. We have additional programs under that program. We have the 24-hour campers, those that are 4 or 5 year olds who have had a full year of school yet. So they come one afternoon, stay overnight, and go home the following afternoon because they're not used to being away from mom and dad for too long. Then we have the full week campers. They come and they stay the full week. And up at camp, they get to experience childhood, which a lot of times is robbed from them because they're yo-yoing out of clinics and they're going through medical challenges that other children have. So up at camp, we provide all those comforts and fun in an outdoor safe environment that typical children have for these children. In addition, the concentration is not on their illness, although we do have medical staff up there that will care and administer their medications and so forth. But the concentration really is for them to be children, experience an outdoor experience, fun experience. And then we have our family room, and we have partnered with the Geisinger Children's Hospital, Janet Weiss Children's Hospital. They do an amazing work with the children over there, and we were hearing from them, the doctors and nurses, they wish they had a room, a respite area, somewhat like a Ronald McDonald House, but smaller, and not a waiting room, where the families could, who are in critical care, cannot leave the hospital because the doctors and nurses want them right there, or not comfortable leaving their child's bedside for too long. So we partnered with them 8 years ago, and we brought the family room, where the families can go in, they can have something to eat, they can grab a nap, take a shower, but yet they're only literally steps away from their child's bedside.
And that's a good summary of the place, what you do, and why you do it. There are various Ronald McDonald Houses around the country. Did it start in PA, though?
It did. Each Ronald McDonald House is owned as a nonprofit organization. It's owned and operated by a volunteer group of board members from the community. There are 5 in Pennsylvania. We're one of them. The first Ronald McDonald House was started in Philadelphia in 1974 by a vision of Dr. Audrey Evans, which there is actually a movie coming out about her life pretty soon, which is quite amazing feat what this individual started out of her compassion has grown 50 years, because actually Ronald McDonald's program is celebrating 50 years this year, 50 years of love, hope, and caring, and touching so many lives, not only in the United States, but also abroad.
Okay. And this one started, what, 1980?
Yes, 1981. We were the 22nd house. There are over 390 houses. And we were one of the first in a rural environment. Before that, us, there were more mostly metropolitan areas.
Okay. And for folks who are as old or older than me, they'll remember that was on Bloom Road before the this main one was built.
Yes. We had started on Bloom Road here in Danville, and quickly outgrew that. And then in 1988, we relocated into the building we are now, and this was built to be a Ronald McDonald House.
Okay. And what got you involved in this this type of organization?
Actually, I started here, and I'm going to say how many years ago, but I started many years ago as a volunteer. I was looking for a way to give back to the community, and I had heard about the Ronald McDonald House, and I came here as a volunteer, a desk attendant, which is, anyone is interested in volunteering for our program, please reach out and ask for Molly Shaw. She's our assistant manager, volunteer coordinator. She would love to explain all the volunteer opportunities here. But that really is what started my journey here. I never thought it would be a career change for me when I started volunteering.
And let's talk a bit about the fundraising initiative going on right now. It started, you said, November and runs into the early part of January.
Until January 6th, that's correct. It's called Season of Giving. And you can go onto our website, rmhdanville.org, and on there you can click and you can make a donation to help us support the families that we care for. Because especially during this time, people tend to forget that they're still ill children, so our families, we need to be here for them. And we do things for our families that are not expected. So, for example, our families aren't expecting it, but come Christmas Eve, Santa Claus will visit them, and they'll wake up to gifts. They will have a Christmas dinner. They have stockings hanging on their door. We try to provide a sense of normalcy for them during a normal time. And this is a way that you can help support not only our families here in the house at our family room, but also by supporting the Season of Giving, you're helping to provide a free, outdoor, safe, fun experience for a child with cancer.
And after 30 years, I forget what it was like to raise money before the internet, but that has to be a big boost to places like this, to not only raising money, but just raising awareness.
Absolutely. You go on our website, rmhdanville.org, and there's a wealth of information, not only the services we provide, how you can support us, how you can support Season of Giving. Also, too, throughout the year, we have a wish list items, and we have a holiday wish list items. And technology has made it so easy for us. So if you click on our website, you'll see you can click on different stores now. And when you click on our stores, our wish list will come up. You can pick wish list items, and then actually they're shipped right here, so you never have to leave your house, but yet you're supporting these families in need.
Are there misconceptions about Ronald McDonald Houses in general, or you know, this one in particular?
Yes, I think because we carry the Ronald McDonald House, the Ronald McDonald's name, a lot of people think that we're owned and operated by the McDonald's organization. We're not. We're our own nonprofit entity. And because there are so many Ronald McDonald House, they think they're all owned and are one unit. They're not. Each Ronald McDonald House is its own non-for-profit organization that relies on the community that they're located in for both financial and volunteer support.
I guess that aforementioned movie will probably explain that a lot to people.
It does. Well, it's about Audrey Evans, and it's about her life. There is a section about the Ronald McDonald's because she was an innovator in pediatric oncology, and family-centered care is now, is come to light, and there are studies that prove the benefit of having a Ronald McDonald House close to a major pediatric hospital such as the Janet Weiss Children's Hospital, because the families are able to be close to their families, or be close to their child, interact with the medical team, and they've actually, studies have shown there has been better medical outcomes because the family was here, because it really does take a village. So she is the one that pioneered, now it wasn't called family-centered care back then, but she really pioneered that thought. So the concept is about her life and her travels through that, and the challenges she faced not only as a woman, but also bringing this new type of oncology care to children, and then also trying to bring the mission of the Ronald McDonald House forward.
And Ronald McDonald House, the concept kind of took on a more personal touch for me like 10 years ago when my daughter started dealing with a lot of illnesses. And we haven't stayed in one, but, you know, when people say, well, I know she's sick, but, you know, that's insurance covers that, I'm sure. And you say, well, it covers the treatment if you have really good insurance, but, I mean, we've driven to Philadelphia, flown to Florida. There's a lot of other costs involved, and that's where this really is a godsend for people.
You hit the nail right on the head. We actually have had, we had a mom one time that was December, calling for a blizzard, and she was being released. She was, you know, far from home, didn't have any support family members with her. And upon checkout, she was telling the nurse where her car was located in the parking lot. And the nurse said, "Why are you telling me this?" She said, "Well, in case my child needs me during the night, you know how to get." She was planning on staying in her car after delivering a child in December when a snowstorm was planned, bitter cold. And the nurse immediately got her a room here at the house. So that is just one of many countless stories that families say, "We've always heard about you. We didn't quite know what you did. Now we get it," unfortunately. But a lot of times, you know, families are going home on a positive note. Their child has improved. They're taking them home. And we have many families that have come back to visit us. And that's the other thing about a Ronald McDonald House. When you are under the roof of a Ronald McDonald House, it doesn't matter what walk of life you come from, what financial status you are, what your beliefs are, you become kind of a subculture. You become a family within a family. And there are many times families come back that have been with us maybe a year, 2 years ago, and they say, "Oh, when so-and-so was here, we're still Facebook friends," or "They stopped at our house at the holidays," or "We go on vacation together," because only one parent really knows what another parent's going through. So they have a built-in moral support group in the house. Okay.
And this is such an incredible atmosphere. I mean, it's obvious that you guys prepare the volunteers well, because I've always been greeted kindly and treated well here.
We are very fortunate. We just seem to attract the right individuals. And it's the individuals who are empathetic and have compassion. And our volunteers are amazing, truly amazing. They're giving the best gift that anyone can give, and that's the gift of their time. And we've had volunteers that, you know, are regularly scheduled, and something comes up in our personal lives where they can't meet their schedule. They'll actually come into the office and apologize, saying, "Oh, I'm sorry." I had one volunteer one time came in an office and said, "Unfortunately, my family came in. They didn't tell me. They surprised me, and unfortunately, I won't be able to come in tomorrow, but I promise I'll make up my hours." And I looked at her and I thought, "You do realize you're a volunteer, yeah, right?" You know? But that's just, they take it seriously.
Commitment.
The commitment's there, the passion's there, and they're just wonderful with our house guests.
Any other particularly memorable, inspiring kind of incidents that you've seen over the years, that really points out the need for this?
Oh, well, absolutely. There's countless ones. When you go to camp and you see, you know, these children who are mainly in clinics and, you know, inpatient and can pronounce medical terminology a foot long, and they're only little, you know, and yet to see them up at camp, we have had a child who was in a wheelchair, and yet up at camp, which we rent the camping facility, Camp Victory in Millville. They do a wonderful job up there. So annually we rent that for beautiful facility. And they have a rock climbing wall. And this child who is in a wheelchair is, because they have trained rock climbing people there, and are hoisting him up, you know, with the rock climbing wall while his fellow campers are cheering him on. That's something he normally would not have experienced. And, you know, we hear from the parents that the campers are, for weeks after camp, are talking about the fun they had, which typically what a child would do, but a lot of times these children don't, because they're in and out of clinics in the hospital settings. So there's countless stories, just like I said, about the mom and about the camper. We had a dad who stayed with us, and as you probably walk through the house, you see that we're getting ready for Christmas. And this was in January, and he had a newborn, and before the newborn had arrived, this was in early December, I was talking to him in January, he was telling us how his wife was a difficult pregnancy. They had other children. She couldn't work. He had to stop work to take care of his wife because she was bedridden. And they came into the hospital, and before they came into the hospital to deliver, they had, because the income was not there, they had stated they were going to postpone Christmas. So he came into the house, and his wife had delivered, and they got caught up in all of, you know, caring for the newborn and so forth, that they never sat down with their children and explained that, the siblings, that, you know, they were going to kind of do Christmas later. Well, they said they woke up Christmas morning because his children came down to stay with him. His wife was released from the hospital. The child was still inpatient. And he woke up and he had Christmas presents outside his door. He came down stairs that day, and his wife and him were taking turns going to visit the child, and one of the staff had told him that Christmas dinner will be at 1. And so he said they had presents. He said they had a Christmas dinner. And normally in their house at the end of the evening, Christmas night, they sit in the living room and look at the tree lights. And he said they were doing that in our living room. And he, all of a sudden it snapped into his mind. Thank goodness they never had that conversation with the children, because he said, I turned to my wife and said, guess we didn't have to miss Christmas. So that's things that I think that people don't realize the Ronald McDonald does. You know, it's more than the bed they sleep in. It's more than the meal they're given. It's that fun camping experience. It's that friendly volunteer. It's the extra mile. It's being able to, if your child is impatient, to stop at the family room and just grab a soda and sit and look at the fish tank and just decompress, knowing you're only steps away from your child's bedside and you can go in and out of the family room. So all of those programs, all of those families, all of those campers are the Ronald McDonald House.
Again, we talked about misconceptions. Sometimes people think of this as a Geisinger thing, but it's a nonprofit, a separate, but it's on the Geisinger campus. Is that the way most of them operate, or?
No, we're unique. There are Ronald McDonald Houses that are on the campus, but we're small in numbers. Generally, they're a distance away from the houses. And yes, that is a preconception that we are owned and operated by the Geisinger Medical Center. We're not. However, they are a partner donor. They're very good to the Ronald McDonald House. Just like any other corporation in the area, we do rely on those area because one entity could not fully support our mission.
Again, not just a bed. That's, you think, well, you could stay in a hotel. Well, that's there's so much more to it.
The majority of our families could not afford, especially a family can be here from one night up until months, 7, 8, 9 months without going home. They could not afford a hotel, finding a laundromat, 3 square meals a day, plus just the support itself, because the family-centered care, you know, objective, the cornerstone of that, are Ronald McDonald Houses. You cannot afford that. And besides, we not only service all the counties in Pennsylvania, we have service people, individuals from other states and other countries as well.
Okay. And last summer, my wife and daughter used her brother's house as their own Ronald McDonald House in Florida. But that, you know, that's something most people, you don't necessarily have that lined up.
Yeah, and it's not something that you think of, because you think of going and getting your child the medical care that they need. And then once you know, and we hear this countless from our families, once, you know, families are coming in by ambulance, by life flight. Once they get here and they know, okay, their child's in good hands, then all the questions, okay, where are we going to stay? Where are we going to eat? Well, you know, where are we going to shower? But all that kind of stuff. And that's when the Ronald McDonald House comes in. It really is, you know, a light in, you know, a port in a storm, you know, that lighthouse in a storm. And we hear that so often from our families. We didn't know what we were going to stay in our car. But because the Ronald McDonald House was here, we didn't have to.
It's kind of a good interview for Christmas time with, you think of kids and Christmas. And so it was good to come up here today and talk with you. Final thoughts and what, you know, how people again can reach out if they'd like to help or volunteer.
Absolutely. If you'd like to volunteer, you can call the house at 570-271-6300. That's 570-271-6300. And ask for Molly Shaw. She's our assistant manager, volunteer coordinator. And if you would love to participate in the season of giving, we welcome your opportunity to become a friend of the house. You can log on to RMH Danville, that is rmhdanville.org, rmhdanville.org, for the season of giving and also for our wish list items.
Mike Turles, Executive Director of the Ronald McDonald House in Danville, has been our guest on the program today, and we appreciate, Mike, having you join us.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate this opportunity, and everyone have a very Merry Christmas.
And we thank all of our listeners for tuning in.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.